You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Deeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by BetOnline.ag, the best sports betting website around. Remember, it's the Halloween season. There's some great promos going on at BetOnline.ag.com. You bet on the basketball season that's starting right now. Baseball bets are going on for the postseason. Understandably, the Phillies lost. We're all upset about it, but there's still some baseball games you can win some money on. And, of course, football and the Eagles as well. Promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, 50% matching your initial deposit. BetOnline.ag, and then we're also sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/Eagles for 10% off your first month. This podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, co-host Connor Miles with my co-host Ed Kraz. Ed, I hate to bring up the Phillies thing right off. I even feel bad just saying that because the vibes from that clubhouse, I was really hoping they would win the World Series this year. I'm not even a Phillies fan. I was hoping they would win the World Series this year because those vibes are immaculate. And that's like, it was like bros baseball. That's what I grew up with. Unfortunately, if you didn't know this about me, I'm a Yankees fan because I was born in New York, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Diehard Yankees fan. And the core four, how they treated each other in the clubhouse was kind of like how the Phillies established here. That's why I like seeing that again. That's how baseball is all about. You're supposed to be bros like that. You're supposed to love each other like that. And you're supposed to smash home runs like that. So Craig Kimbrell's number one enemy in Philadelphia, understandably so. Sorry that the Phillies lost, guys. They'll be back next year, though. I know that everybody's down on Rob Thompson right now and everything, but he is a good manager. He understands baseball. He will fix his mistakes. They'll be back next year. Now we got to talk about some football.
Yeah.
So, Ed, it's funny thing is we ended last week's episode talking about how the Eagles secondary is missing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and his interception. Well, what did they do? I don't know how he listened to the episode, if he already knew this already, which I would imagine he did. more so than listening to the episode, but he goes out and trades for not only Kevin Byard, all-pro safety from the Tennessee Titans, in a steal of a trade, Terrell Edmunds, a fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick, which phenomenal value for Kevin Byard, who is third in the NFL in interceptions since 2016 behind Justin Simmons and Xavier Howard. You couldn't ask for a better guy with a better resume that was available for incredible value, because I think Justin Simmons, if he is available, is going to go for a higher cost. So you couldn't imagine the value they got for Kevin Byard. This is the perfect trade for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, obviously somebody they needed. I mean, they went against the Dolphins last week with two backup safeties and their fourth slot cornerback. So, you know, they needed help in that secondary for sure. And, you know, Kevin Byard's a 30-year-old veteran. He's originally from Philadelphia, spent the first 14 years of his life in Philly, and then his parents got divorced and he moved with his mother down to Atlanta. But it's a great deal. I mean, it's a really, you're right. Two third day picks. The Eagles are going to have a lot of picks next year anyway, compensatory picks. So it makes a whole lot of sense. And I hate to see Terrell Edmunds go. I mean, I liked him. He was a good guy. He was a good presence in the locker room, but Byard's better, you know, he's just better. And he does things that the Eagles like that fit into the scheme. So like actually cover people. He's a good cover safety. I mean, you know, not, you know, Edmunds.
No, but you don't have to sugarcoat it, Ed. Come on.
But he can't really cover that well. So, you know,
well, that's Edmunds' mindset is always to be around the line of scrimmage because he was the hybrid backer for Pittsburgh. Then you kind of were putting him with these injuries. You had no choice, but you're putting a square in a circle peg. Like, he wasn't fitting. Like that touchdown to Tyreek, where he speeds right past Bradbury and Edmunds before the. Right when the ball snapped, Edmunds makes a move like he's going to pivot inside to give Bradbury support at the line of scrimmage. And he should be going back covering for that touchdown. He shouldn't be moving forward. He should be moving backward to give safety support. And he didn't. Yeah. He bit on it. It seemed, I don't know if he was looking at Braxton Berrios and thought he could defeat that crosser and then realized that he was getting past Bradbury. Got to go help and it was too late. I don't know. I don't know what his thought process was there, but that was... I think if you're Howie Roseman, you're looking at that, and that's the day you're saying, all right, I'm making a move for Byard. That's it.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Edmonds on that touchdown pass, right, to Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill is just such a tough cover anyway. But, yeah, I mean, it's an upgrade. He grew up watching Brian Dawkins. He loves Brian Dawkins. I mean, so what's not to like about this guy? Maybe his contract, you know, the Titans are picking up a lot of it for the rest of the year. But, you know, next year there's a huge cap number. Maybe they rework something and try to stretch that out over the next couple of years. We'll see. But in the short term, got to love it, man. It's going to really help this team get where they want to be. And the best part, another good part, I should say, about it is Howie Roseman just showed us that he's all in. He believes this is a championship team again. He's not a seller. He's looking to bring in talent to get this team to where it wants to go, back to the Super Bowl, so they can kind of stop picking at that scab. You know, Roseman talked about the scar that it's going to leave for the rest of his life, and it's not going to scab over. Well, maybe this helps them get back there and win it. And you can forget about that scar and that scab because they'll have won the Super Bowl. And if they get there, I think Kevin Byard will be a big reason for it.
Oh, 100%, because the one thing that we're missing out here is now Darius Slay and James Bradbury can get comfortable again.
Right.
There was a lot of discomfort in this secondary with the shuffling at safety, with the injuries and the inconsistent play and these new guys stepping into these roles. It's hard to make your corners comfortable. And the only time that we're going to see the secondary at full peak is when Bradley Roby is good and he's back out there. Because then you have I don't know, actually. Eli Ricks actually played pretty well against Miami, and I'm sure we'll touch on that as well a little bit. But when Bradley Roby, the veteran that's been there before, gets back out there, I mean, this secondary is going to be hitting all cylinders towards the end of the season when you're going against the hardest part of your schedule. You couldn't ask for a better move by Howie.
Yeah, and we'll see where Roby fits. I mean, he's out with the shoulder injury. I thought it was maybe a two-game injury, so I'm not sure he'll play against Washington. We'll see. It's still early in the week. But, you know, they're going to have a roster crunch once some of these guys start getting healthy, like Cam Jurgens and Justin Evans. So, you know, where are you going to make the move? You know, Sidney Brown said on Wednesday in the locker room that, you know, he's probably going to be the slot guy. He's probably going to play reps in the slot. Now, listen, whether or not he is true or not, we'll see. I mean, Sidney Brown also told me two weeks ago, that he was going to play, and then he didn't play. So, you know, right now he's getting trained in the slot, and Eli Ricks is as well. Two rookies, both learning really kind of how to play the slot at the NFL. Ricks has never done it, even going back to Alabama. But he did look pretty good in there on the 14 snaps. He did a nice job on the couple of times he was matched up against Tyreek Hill. So, you know, we'll see where Roby fits once he's healthy and ready to return. Because, like I said, they're going to have to figure out some roster moves here in short order once Jurgens and Evans are ready to come off the IR.
That's a good point. Just so excited because that's the one thing that, I mean, still, no matter what, they got Kevin Byard. Like, just phenomenal move. Gave up absolutely nothing for him. And like you said, they have multiple draft picks still to overcome the losing the fifth and the sixth round pick, no matter what. So, and he does have an option at the end of his contract, at the end of the year here. So that option, I think, really gives you the flexibility to rework his deal and say, hey, you're on a winner now. Let's keep winning if he wants to stick around. Because you could play past your 30s and as a safety in the NFL. 100%. And he's the type of player that could.
Yeah. So Malcolm, he's like a little bit like Malcolm Jenkins, I think. You know, he's a real leader, good communicator. And Malcolm played to what, 33? At a pretty high level. So yeah, I mean, you can play for a few more years into your 30s if you're Byard.
Not only that, it just helps Reed Blankenship too, the other Middle Tennessee alum. That's the perfect trade. I couldn't ask for a better trade right there.
How about that? Safety U, Middle Tennessee State. Two starting safeties from Middle Tennessee State of all places.
Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? You think Byard plays on Sunday?
Yes.
I do too.
I mean, they got him for 11 games. So I guess, what, they have 11 left? They played 7. 10 games.
They're counting the postseason games too, I'll tell you right now. But yeah.
Right. So they got him for, you know, for this. Who knows what happens next year? Because like I mentioned, the cap hit. So yeah, you're going to play him. You didn't bring him.
Look what happened last year. Last year was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You didn't wait. Got him a couple of days before week one started, and you rolled him out there.
And he's a veteran. He's been around. He knows what's going on. He knows defenses. He knows offenses. I mean, he's a plug and play right out of the gate.
Well, ask yourself this. Would you rather go with what they had prior, or would you rather go with Kevin Byard and on like a 5-day notice?
I'd rather go with Kevin Byard.
Yeah, exactly. So that, there you go. Yeah. We'll answer that question there. I mean, Kevin Byard will be out there on Sunday.
I mean, yeah. Blankenship, I think, was listed as a full participant today with his ribs, and it was just an estimation because they had a walkthrough today. But, you know, that's a good sign. So, you know, if you don't think Byard's ready, and I don't think that's going to happen, at least you have Brown and Blankenship that can come in at safety and play. But I don't see any reason why they wouldn't put Byard out there.
Didn't the Eagles are done making moves?
Well, the trade deadline's on Halloween, right? 4 p.m. Before anybody goes out trick-or-treating. So we'll know what they do, if anything. But, you know, they could go for another corner or a linebacker, maybe a receiver, although they got Julio Jones in here, played 16 snaps, made one catch. I never heard a bigger cheer for a three-yard catch in my life than after Julio Jones caught that three-yard pass. So we'll see what kind of role and see if that grows for Julio. And again, he's a guy on the practice squad. So we talk about this roster crunch, you know, he only has two more elevations left and, you know, some things could go wrong. Guys could get hurt in these next two games and then maybe a spot opens up, but right now there's no room for him. So, you know, I think they're going to ride Julio here. I thought maybe they'd go for a receiver, but I don't think so. Maybe a name to keep an eye on, too, is Brian Burns, another edge rusher from the Carolina Panthers, who was said to be on the market. Never have too many edge rushers. So, you know, maybe that's a guy that Howie might target.
He traded for Brian Burns? Oh, my God. Pencil the Super Bowl now. How do you stop Josh Sweat, Hassan Reddick, Brian Burns, and Jalen Carter?
Yeah, and Jordan Davis is really playing well.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
I mean, the Eagles' defense, rush defense is ranked number one in the league. It was tied for 16th last year. And, you know, I asked Lane Johnson after everybody left the locker room, you know, I was just talking to Lane. I was like, why is your run defense so good? You blocked against these guys all summer. And he said, have you ever blocked Jordan Davis before? And I'm like, no, I don't think I ever would want to. He goes, that guy can take up three gaps all by himself. So, you know, Jordan Davis, you know, I think he's very underrated part of this defense because everybody looks at the sacks and, you know, Jalen Carter's just phenomenal to watch the way he plays. But man, Jordan Davis, you watch him take double teams and he doesn't really go backwards against double teams. He anchors and he stays there and just clogs things up. So yeah, I think, you know, you got to give him some props here.
I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back here, but the way that you're describing Jordan Davis is the way that we described him when the Eagles picked him.
Yeah.
We always said this from this jump. You know, nobody looks at the Buccaneers' Vita Vea stats when they hail him because he's not blown up the box score. He's making things happen for everybody around him. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine where this defensive line would be to this day right now if Jordan Davis wasn't playing the way he was. Honestly,
and
God.
Even that said, if you want to look at sacks, I think Davis has three now. He had a half a sack with Fletcher against the Dolphins. I think that brings him to three, maybe two and a half. But, you know, that's a pretty solid number for a D-tackle.
Oh, but not only that, I mean, he is the difference in their run defense. You have to put it that it's Jordan Davis.
No
doubt.
It's
a huge difference. The leap from year one, because, I mean, he wasn't bad last year, right? He was not bad. Everybody wants to act like he didn't do well last year. That's not the case at all. He got banged up. He was injured, and he didn't look right when he came back from injury. That's just the truth, and they had a bunch of other guys that were prepared to handle those roles in Linval Joseph and Dominick Sue. This year, night and day, though. He's playing like an elite level defensive tackle. He's playing exactly like Vita Vea. And that's exactly what I thought he was going to be when the Eagles drafted him. So it's good to see because he just eats up space, allows opportunities for the pass rushers, and Jalen Carter and him together for years to come, like they were in Georgia, is just nothing but great news for the Eagles.
No kidding. Yep. Think about that. These two guys drafted a year apart, still on the rookie deals. I mean, that's exciting. We're looking at the kind of the heyday, in my opinion, of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, these next few years, I think they're just going to continue to grow and get better. And with Howie Roseman pulling the strings, I mean, this team is going to be a double-digit win team, I think, for the foreseeable future.
Dan Graziano made a report that the Eagles could be looking into the running back market, and I couldn't disagree more with that. I don't know how you feel, but they talk about Rashad Penny still. They've mentioned him like he's a vital part to the team. Right. I always go back to your theory episodes ago, and I'll let you talk after this, but I go back to your theory that they're just trying to let him get his legs back underneath him because that injury was still fresh. Because there's at some point, like, You're keeping him around for a reason, you would imagine.
He's a good insurance policy, no question. And the longer he just kind of lets that injury, you know, rehab and recover from last year and, you know, bring him along slowly at his speed, then better it is. I mean, they can't even get Boston Scott carries. You know, they're going with a Swift Gainwell heavy rotation. But, you know, we've seen guys get hurt, obviously, this year, especially for the Eagles, and it happens all the time. I mean, Rashad Penny is a good insurance policy to have. Listen, if you go for another running back, I don't really know what you would do with another running back. I mean, they're happy with Swift. They like Gainwell, although I think Gainwell could do better. But he's, you know, a big part of this offense. Had a great three-yard touchdown run against the Dolphins, the way he kept his balance and, you know, twirled into the end zone there to put the Eagles up 31-17.
He runs hard. It's not always pretty, but he runs hard.
You're right. He does run hard. And, you know, he's got doing good with the ball security. So I would probably agree with you that I'm not sure they need a running back in the trade market. You know, I thought maybe if they traded with Tennessee, if they brought Byard in, maybe they would have brought Derrick Henry over too, but you don't need Derrick Henry. You really don't. I think they're happy with what they have there.
I just look what they do at the running back room. They only keep three guys active. If you add another running back and you keep the guys that you have in your roster, which I imagine you would, I don't know. Maybe we would get rid of Penny at that point if you brought somebody else in. But even if you do get rid of Penny, who are you keeping active? Because they love Boston Scott. He's going to stay active no matter what. He's the kick returner too. So, I mean, you're going to see Boston Scott, no matter what, active on game days when he's available, unless he's injured. So what would you do at running back then? And I know the fans' answers would be, all right, easily, Kenny Gainwell. But that's not what the Eagles are going to do.
Probably not, unless they trade Gainwell in the deal. I mean, I was surprised that Edmonds, you rarely see player for player deals straight up. It's usually just draft picks. So I was kind of surprised that Edmonds was included in that trade. So, you know, maybe someone takes Gainwell. I don't know. I mean, he still has a year left on his rookie deal, so he has some value. But I think
kind of plays into what you were saying, though, too, because Mike Vrabel talked about Edmonds during the press conference that made it sound like he had to be part of the deal. In my opinion, that's my opinion though. And just the way that he talked about him at his press conference, it seemed like they needed him to be part of this deal, especially for safety depth. And they also picked up Kayvon Wallace, so they clearly aren't satisfied with at safety after this buyer trade. So it seemed like Edmonds had to be part of this deal. But it also, if you keep Edmonds, what do you do with this roster with all these guys too, like you're saying? So I feel like it worked. The Eagles were okay with the Titans asking for Edmonds just because of their roster construction.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and maybe the Eagles said, hey, do you want Edmonds, you know, to fill that safety gap to get you through the year? And they said,
probably right. It's probably the same things we're going to have to have with Gainwell, too. If they trade for a running back, they're going to have to include one in the deal.
Probably so. And where are you going to upgrade? And listen, Byard's a veteran. I mean, he knows defense. He knows offense. He's plug and play. Where are you going to find a running back that's going to come in and understand, you know, the plays, the design of the plays, in such a short span of time? I mean, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I would rather go see them get some offensive line depth. You know, they lost both to from the practice squad. But it's hard to do. You don't see offensive linemen, I don't think, change teams much, because there's such a dearth of O linemen in the league. Teams are dying for good offensive line play. So I don't know who would be willing to trade away and, you know, a serviceable offensive lineman for depth purposes.
There's two guys available that I would wonder if they would even consider. DJ Fluker, who was here for a visit, I wonder if they're keeping tabs. I imagine they do, because that's how the Eagles work. They always, if they had you in for a workout, trust me, you're in your back pocket in some sort. Lyle Collins, he's out there available. I wonder if they would even consider that, because, I mean,
is he a free agent?
He's a free agent.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
I kind of agree with you. You're sitting at this point where you had to use your backup right guard, who the glamour of him is kind of wearing off. If you ask me, that Miami game is kind of rough by him. Again, he's dealing with some great talent on that defensive front of Miami, but I feel like he was more of a liability than a help in that game. So I think the glamour of Suo Pettis is kind of wearing off a little bit. He's ready to go back to the bench. And, you know, you're right. Lane left that game and the whole entire offense changed. So if you could tell Lyle Collins, like, hey, I know you want to be a starter. You probably get some starter opportunities out there, but we're trying to win a championship. And we've had times during the season where we've had to rely on our backup offensive linemen for meaningful snaps. you may be in line for that. Or DJ Fluker. I know he hasn't played all year, and he hasn't played probably even last year. I don't remember. He definitely didn't play last year. But you brought him in for a workout. He looked good, I thought, in his workout videos. I don't know how football speed he's ready, but you put him on the practice squad and you get him to that point.
Right. I mean, yeah, I could see them bringing in an offensive lineman. I mean, that's another position. I mean, I would put running back kind of down on the list. I mean, I could see maybe bringing in a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker. I mean, Zach Cunningham, he's very long and rangy, but, you know, I don't know. Is he the best you can do at that position? I didn't think N'Kobe Dean had a very good game against the Dolphins. And he only got 30 of the 49 snaps. Cunningham played the whole way. Morrow had 16 snaps. So, I don't know. Linebacker could be a spot to keep an eye on, and maybe another cornerback, given the fact that they've been so banged up in the secondary that, hey, why not? The more corners, the better. I mean, it seems to be that's the position that's getting hammered with injuries. So, yeah, maybe another spot to keep an eye on. And I'd put, you know, probably linebacker, cornerback, and maybe O-line kind of as my top three positions to watch if Howie makes another move.
Agreed. So now we got to talk about this. What do you think about Jalen Hurts? Do you think he's hurt?
I think he's hurt, but I think he's going to play.
What do you think he got hurt? Because I've been having this debate all week with my friends, and one of them says he thinks against the Rams when he slipped, when he had that insane tackle that looked really bad, but it was actually fine. And I just remember, not against the Jets. Who did they play the week before the Jets? Washington, right?
Washington was week four. Week five was the Rams. Week six was the Jets. Week seven was the Dolphins.
Okay, so before it was Washington then. I just remember that red zone, first quarterback design run, he slipped on the grass, and it looked like an awkward slip.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but.
But I don't know. That's, and my friend, you know, I've had people talk to me, and they think it's that Rams game where he had that crazy tackle. Do you have an idea in your head of when he could have got hurt? Because I think he's hurt too. I think his ankle's. I don't know what it is. It looked like to me it was an ankle. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I thought it was an ankle, but it's a knee. He's wearing a knee brace. He came back after halftime and put a knee brace on in the second half against Miami. And, you know, we talked to him on Wednesday, and I asked him, I said, I can't remember what I asked him, but I asked him something about the injury, about when it happened. And he said, well, I already said it didn't happen in the game. So when did it happen at practice? That's how Jalen Carter hurt an ankle, cost him a game. I wouldn't think so. But I'd have to really go back and look at the tape from the previous games as to when it might happen. It did look to me like in Miami, he got kind of stuck in the turf a little bit on one play and he got sacked. I think it could have happened there, but he insists that it didn't happen in the game. So it had to be something that happened prior to that. And I wouldn't think it would date further back than the Jets the week before. So it either happened in that game or during practice. And he tried to give it a go without the brace, and he put a brace on, and it made him feel more comfortable. So, you know, it's still kind of a mystery. But I do think he'll play. He said today they're going to take it day by day and one day at a time, you know, all that stuff. But Sirianni said that you know, they seem pretty optimistic that he's going to play. Today, Wednesday was a closed walkthrough practice, so we weren't able to watch it. Thursday will be an open practice for maybe the first 10, 15, 20 minutes. So we'll get an idea if Hurts is going to practice, if he's out there doing drills and such, then I would say he's probably going to play. I still think even if he's not, he's going to play.
Oh, yeah. He has no designation.
Right. There was no designation on the injury report. And all they did was, you know, some running and walking and, you know, who knows how he'll come out of that on the knee. You know, maybe it came out a little sore and the list is limited on Thursday. We'll see.
I know you're bringing up that run against Miami where you think he got hurt. And then you saw the next play. He kind of like ran. He was trying to pick up some yards. Van Ginkel chases him out of bounds. He looked gimpy on that run. So that's why when he made that run and he looked gimpy on it, I'm like, oh, he's definitely hurt 100%. And you could just tell now. I wonder if it did happen against the Jets. I mean, MetLife Field is known to kill everybody, so I wouldn't be surprised if it actually did happen against the Jets.
That's right. But, yeah, I think that that's when I noticed it, too. I think you're talking about that play after he threw the pick six.
The reason why I'm bringing up that play immediately and why it sticks in my head, because all these Dolphin fans all week are talking about the penalties missed out on the Eagles side, which is, you know, just a typical fan base crying as usual. And I'm like, well, I thought Van Ginkel did a late hit there and didn't get called for it. And it's always because, you know, we're dealing with a mobile quarterback and they're always biased against those calls there. But Hurts was clearly headed out of bounds, nearly there, and this guy drags him down. I'm like, that's going to – and he's already looked like he was hurt on that run. You're just going to make it worse with that. So I'm surprised that call didn't happen. That's why it sticks out to me. But I just remember he ran so slow. Like, he looked like he was hurt.
Yeah. I know. That's kind of when you started noticing it, is he just didn't have that fire and that drive, that you know, the ability to run and pick up speed. He was pulling up lame. So I don't know. I mean, if he plays, and I think he will, he's not probably going to be doing a whole lot of running. I mean, this Miami or this Washington front is really, really good, as we all know. We saw it just a month ago when they played him. So, he's going to have to protect himself pretty good in this game.
Absolutely, because for some reason, Washington always gets to the drawing board and figures out how to be a competent football team against the Eagles somehow, some way. So,
because
it's crazy. They lost 14-7 last week to the Giants and Tyrod Taylor, but they're going to come in against the Eagles, and Eagles are going to squeak out a close victory.
Well, maybe. Listen, Sam Howell had a terrible game against Buffalo, and he came in to the link and, you know, had 60 yards rushing on scrambles, really hurt them with his feet. And then he had a terrible game against the Giants last week in a loss. He could come out like a house on fire again on Sunday.
He sacked 40 times this year. I mean, the guy has no chance. So, I mean, you're hoping with the Hassan Reddick looking back like he's normal, which hats off to Hassan Reddick and hats off to Josh Sweat too as well. I mean, both these guys, 5.5 sacks already, and the amount of pressures that they're generating as well is just completely changing what an offense can do from a production standpoint. You want to tip your hat to the run defense of Jordan Davis, but you also have to do it with these edge rushers. They're setting the tone for this defense now, and it's only going to get better now. They got Kevin Byard. I don't think people realize enough how much those 70 sacks contributed to the fact that everybody was covered downfield last year, because there was great coverage being performed when they had the safety support that they had in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Folks, we are getting back to that point now. We are going to be back to that point in the in the long stretch of the season versus the hardest part of the Eagles' schedule. I think they had the second-ranked hardest part of their schedule that they're facing right now, and they're about to have that type of coverage again that's going to make the pass rush job way easier. Like, I hope you guys are excited as I am, because I can't even sit in my chair right now. This is, it's insane. I'm so happy over that Kevin Byard trade, and I hope you guys are too. And Ed, I'm just to end the show real quick. You think they're beating Washington, right?
Yeah, I do. They always seem to play a little better down in FedEx Field for whatever reason than they do at home against Washington. But
second home away from home.
Yeah, I know. There'll be a lot of Eagles fans there. I would. Unlike last week when I thought Miami would win, yeah, I think the Eagles win this week, and then they bring Dallas in here before they go on their bye. So that's my only concern again, maybe looking ahead to Dallas and the 4:25 kick next week. Maybe they're peeking ahead. I doubt it. I just can't see them losing to Washington. I really can't.
I doubt it. I doubt seeing them peek ahead either. I think they took the last game personal. I would hope so, because it was, to head that game into overtime, how they gave up that touchdown on the last drive, like that should leave a sour taste in your mouth if you're a defense. It would for me personally, so I hope it does for them. So I don't see them overlooking this week. I see them taking this week very seriously, and you're right. They always seem to be playing better in FedEx Field. So
yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know why.
Well, the pass rush is finally awake. So that's why, I don't want to say finally awake. It's clear as day that cast is holding back Hassan Reddick. And now that it's off, he's back to normal, looking the way he does. I wouldn't be surprised if this is like how it was last year when they went to Washington and Wentz was playing and they sacked him 9 times. I really wouldn't.
I tell you, Reddick didn't have a sack on Sunday against the Dolphins, but man, he played
everywhere.
Run game. I mean, he was just shutting down that run that, you know, Miami was averaging 180 yards a game on the ground, and they got 45 against the Eagles. And it wasn't like they were negative, so far behind where they had to pass all the time.
-7 first half.
Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy number. And Reddick really set the tone with a couple of tackles for loss out on the edge. So he made a huge impact on that game, not from the sack department, as a run defender. And that's the sign of a good all-around player. He's not just some sack artist that comes in and piles up a sack, but he can do it in the ground game too.
3 years, $45 million. He's going to go down as one of the top 5 signings in Howie Roseman's GM history. 100%.
Yeah.
All right. I have them beating Washington soundly, to be honest with you, because I think it's going to be one of those sack parties, especially if Kevin Byard plays, because I know he's going to be up to speed right away and give them some. He's going to give them better safety play than they've been having. It's going to make James Barry's job easier. It's going to make Darius Slay's job noticeably easier, and it's going to improve the pass rush, which is may lead to. I don't want to say another side. That 9 sacks was a lot and was unexpected. I would imagine they get 5, though, at least. I'm going to be honest with you. That O-line is playing that bad.
I would even put Byard down for a sack. I think Sean Desai is going to have a little fun with him, and he might bring him on a safety blitz or a slot corner blitz, but I think Byard's going to have a sack, too. That's my prediction. That's going to be kind of his coming out party in Philadelphia, as he's going to sack Sam Howell.
Yeah, hats off to Sean Desai, though. We didn't even give him his flowers, man. That game against Miami's offense, to have that kind of a game plan from the start, there was no, I need to make halftime adjustments and get back to speed with this. It was from the start, domination of the what he preached all week about the physicality to him and Nick Sirianni. It came true. It showed right away off that bat. So hats off to him, because I will say, I know we picked Miami to win, but I did mention it would be very Eagles-like to drop a game like that ugly game to the Jets and then come out and win soundly against Dolphins the following week. And they did just that, because that's Eagles fashion right there, folks. You know the team no matter what at the end of the day. So Ed, that's going to do it for us. Hats off to Sean Desai. Greatly appreciate you, sir. That's the one wrinkle that he's added to this defense that was lacking last year that I really love is the blitzing. I really love it. I think you throw at offenses what they don't expect from the Eagles defense. And it just makes a world of difference at the end of the games. It really does. So I really do appreciate that he blitzes more regularly than Jonathan Gannon ever would have.
Yep.
All right. That's going to do it for us, guys. We'll talk to you guys soon to recap this game after it happens against Washington. You guys have a wonderful rest of your weekend. We'll see you soon.